The self theory. So, hi, hello and welcome. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the self theory. And the self theory is one of those big unifying theories in the field of biology. And when I say unifying, then I mean that the self theory can be found or can be found useful in different areas of biology. For your information, for some side information, the theory of evolution would be another unifying theories. In recent years, we've got the theories relating to molecular biology and DNA and all of these things. These are also some very important concepts that keep on reappearing pretty much in any area of biology that you want to study. I wouldn't say maybe reappearing, but at least have an application, or they apply at least in many different areas. And the cell theory is one of those theories that, it took quite a little bit of time and effort for it to actually be established. We're going to jump right into it. The cell theory is made of three parts, or three statements, and these three statements are: all living things are made of cells, all of them, plants, animals, earthworms, mosquitoes, bacteria, jellyfish, I don't care, all of them are made of cells. The cells is the basic unit of life, so this means that you have to have at least one cell. And even multicellular organisms, they have many individual cells, and it's the basic unit. And cells can, that's the third one, is now cells can only come from pre-existing cells. So you cannot simply make cells out of non-living material. Now, this of course begs the question, where did the first cell come from? So it's this chicken-egg problem, right? And the first cell, of course, must have come from non-living material. But these days, we do not see that cells actually appear out of nothing, so to say, or out of non-living material. I'll give you an example. If you have a sandwich lying on your table for a couple of weeks, what's going to happen is it's going to turn bad and there's going to be fungus and mold growing all over it. When you put it under the light, you're going to see that it's made of cells, right? The fungus. And now you have two possible explanations. Explanation number one is that the non-living sandwich kind of formed life, formed those cells, formed the fungus on its own somehow. That's one possibility. Or the second possibility is that the fungus basically came from the air, fell on the sandwich, and there it started to reproduce and divide. So these are the two options. Which one's correct? Of course, the last one, because living things like the fungus growing on the sandwich can only come from a pre-existing fungus. So that's basically a really important, and this wasn't so easy all the time. I mean, scientists a couple hundred years ago, they were debating this, and they were wanted to know, where do cells come from? Can they form out of non-living material? At the very beginning, for example, they thought that cells are able to form like crystals. They're able, crystals. So you've got a salt solution. Crystals are able to form on their own, even though there are no crystals present in the first place. And they thought maybe the same thing happens with cells. It's not the case. You need to have pre-existing cells for new cells to form. So now there are a couple of special cases. They call it exceptions to the cell theory. I don't like the word exceptions so much. I would like to call it rather special cases, where certain living things, they kind of, it doesn't really look like they're made of cells. They're just the way that we think of cells. One example is skeletal muscle. That's basically our muscle that we have. These are made of muscle fibers, and they're quite long. So the individual muscle fibers, they are surrounded by a membrane, just like individual cells are, but they are much longer. They're around 30 centimeters, around 300 millimeters long, and they contain hundreds of different nuclei. A nucleus is where the DNA can be found, and they contain hundreds of them. So is this now one gigantic cell, muscle fiber, or are they actually many cells fused together? What is this now? You see, it doesn't really look like the way that we think of cells all the time. A second special case are certain giant algae. They are called, for example, of the genus Acetabularia. I love those names. And they can be about 10 centimeters tall, 100 millimeters. And when you look at them, you might expect, well, it's supposed to be made of many cells, right? But in reality, it only has one nucleus. The whole thing, which is 10 centimeters tall, has one nucleus. So is this like one huge giant cell? This doesn't really look the way that we think of it, right? I mean, you still need a nucleus. I mean, so there is some kind of a connection to cells here because it's got a nucleus and all these things. But it's kind of strange. It doesn't quite look the way that we expect a living thing to look like. And last, we just talked about fungi, right? About the moldy sandwich. There are certain so-called aseptate fungi, and those fungi have long thread-like structures. That's the fuzzy thing, yeah, that you see in a fungus. And they are called hyphae, those fuzzy things. And if you put a hyphae, if you put the hyphae under the microscope, then you're also going to see that they actually contain several nuclei. So a little bit, in that sense, similar maybe to the muscle fibers, the cells seem to be fused together. And so they are not, it's not subdivided into separate cells, but actually these are longer units, and they also contain several nuclei together. Yeah, so the thing that I want to make clear here is that while the cell theory is generally valid, if you look close enough or if you look hard enough, you're always going to find a few examples where it does not always fit the cell theory we kind of expect it to fit. But one of the things that all cells have in common, it doesn't matter, yeah, even those here, is that they have a cell membrane on the outside, or some people call it a plasma membrane. There is a liquid inside called the cytoplasm, and then there is a DNA in there, either inside a nucleus or free-floating. But all cells have to have DNA somewhere, right? Bacteria, for example, they don't have a nucleus, but they still have DNA. So what I want to make clear here is that, there is a huge diversity in nature. You can find a lot of different things, but there are some things that don't change, okay? It's important to know that even though there is so much diversity there, there are certain basic rules that always apply. Like, for example, that all living things are made of cells. I mean, this is a basic biological law that always applies. But how the cells look like is kind of can be different, right? Yeah, so I want to, at the very end now of this very first episode, I want to talk a little bit about what is a theory, because some people think, yeah, if it's called the cell theory, kind of theory sounds like a little bit like you're not quite sure whether it's really the case, it's only a theory. You have to understand, for scientists to call something a theory, a lot of testing and a lot of investigation has to happen. So if we call something a theory in the sciences, then we can already be very, very, very sure that it's correct. Okay, in the sciences, nothing is 100%, of course. But if you think that the cell theory is wrong for whatever reason, well, then go ahead and show me. Go out there, grab yourself a microscope, okay? Find me a living thing that is not made of cells. Go ahead, okay? I'm open to it. Chances are pretty good that you're not going to find a living thing which is not made of cells. So don't waste your life searching for this for this organism. But theoretically, you could do that, right? So this means that scientific theories are correct until they're proven wrong. So if you want to prove it wrong, go out. Sure. Okay, I'm open. Yeah, bring them on. Okay, bring me the living thing that's not made of cells. Yeah, so what I wanted to make clear here is that the cell theory is falsifiable, which means that you need to find me one living thing that's not made of cells, and you've killed the cell theory. And you have basically, you're going to become rich and famous. Well, I don't know if you're going to become rich and famous. So don't put all your cards on this hope, because the cell theory is a very well-established theory. So now I'm going to summarize again the three parts of the cell theory. Quick summary of what I've talked about. All living things are made of cells. The cell is the basic unit of life, which means that half a cell is a dead cell. You need to have at least one cell, and cells can only come from pre-existing cells. And then there are a couple of exceptions or special cases where it does not look like that, what you expect. One example would be skeletal muscle, where you we have several you have long muscle fibers made of many containing many nuclei. You have got certain giant algae which only have one nucleus, yeah, inside there, and you have so-called aseptate fungi, where the hyphae are also fused together, and they kind of look like a little bit different than what you would expect living things to look like. So I wish you all the best. Bye-bye.